It's good. Thanks, Justin and Dan, for your work, too. And Chuck, for getting here early and setting up. 3 months ago, I made the preaching schedule for New Beginnings, and I messed up. I thought Thanksgiving was a week later than it actually was. It was an early Thanksgiving this year. And so when I realized it a couple of weeks ago, I asked Scott if he'd want to switch Sundays with me. He said, I'm going to be in Florida. I'm like, okay, well, the pre-Thanksgiving is going to be a post-Thanksgiving then. I did seek the Lord, and I had two other sermons I worked on, and they weren't going. So I sensed I was supposed to go back to Thanksgiving. So, and this is what I felt I heard the Lord saying. Thanksgiving is supposed to be more than a day. It's a lifestyle. That makes sense? So let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are and for your great love for us that was shown when you sent Jesus to die on a cross in our place. Thank you, Jesus, for rising victorious for us and for the new life you've given us in you. We have much to be thankful for. Ready our hearts to receive your words. Spirit, Lord, I welcome you here to work in and through my words. I know my words by themselves are nothing, but I pray you would make them hit the people's ears as you want. And Lord, as we read your word, that it would not return empty or void, but would accomplish your purposes in each of our hearts this morning. For your glory, Jesus, we thank you. Pray it in your name. Amen. So, 1620, a long time ago, wasn't it, 1620? After a long, difficult journey on the Mayflower, the pilgrims finally landed in Cape Cod. It was November. Now think about it, November in Cape Cod. They had no homes to live in. They had no grocery stores to go to. There was no hospital or doctors for the sick among them. But these were no ordinary people that we're talking about. These were devout followers of Christ Jesus. They left the comforts of their home, all that they knew and were familiar with, their family, to pursue a vision of a better way of life and worshiping God in freedom. And they were not whiners or complainers, but they chose to maintain a gratitude, an attitude of gratitude, through the most trying times. That first winter that the pilgrims were here was an awful winter. I couldn't imagine being with them. They didn't have enough to eat. They were poorly dressed. They were not kept warm. And sickness and disease ravaged them and their group. Over half of them died. 53 people died that first winter. Could you imagine? 100 people came over about, and 53 died. Wow. So the pilgrims gathered in their first harvest in late summer and fall of 1621, about a year after landing in Cape Cod. Although their hearts would have been heavy from the losses of their friends and family, they were still celebrating and had much to be thankful for God's goodness and how he provided for them. And three things in particular that stuck out to me as I was rereading this story of the pilgrims. Number one, they were thankful for the arrival of spring, and that sickness and the death and dying stopped. Wow. I bet they were just so happy when it got warm. Second thing, they were thankful for how God provided for them. Think about this. They're in this land with all these natives Americans, and up comes this English-speaking native named Squanto that could interpret for them with the local tribes and help them to know how to plant and harvest. They didn't even know what corn was. Corn was an American thing, not even European, and that was their main staple. So he showed them how to plant corn and how to grow corn. And they established friendly relationships with the local tribes in a pact of peace and mutual aid. What a great blessing to have that English-speaking Indian. What's the chances of that happening? That was God's hand helping them. And I believe they understood that. And then thirdly, through their hard work, through their tilling the soil and taking Squanto's advice, they had a good harvest. And they had an abundance. And so they wanted to praise God and set aside a day of thanksgiving in which they invited all the Native Americans to come join them. So imagine, you know, they barely made it through that first winter, and now they had more than enough. And how they would have been so thankful to God. And so it was Governor Bradford that pronounced the first day of Thanksgiving. And it wasn't just a single day. It was 3 days of eating and playing games and foot races and wrestling matches. And they had a great time together, both the Native Americans and the pilgrims. And so they just celebrated God's goodness for those 3 days. What we don't know is that there was a second day of Thanksgiving the next year. And the circumstances around this are interesting as well. They celebrated again in the fall of 1623 because of the answer to prayer God gave them that previous summer. What I didn't know, unlike us, who had a lot of rain this summer. The summer of 1623 was particularly dry, very dry, a drought. The ground was parched. The corn, which was their primary crop, began to dry up along with their other vegetables. And they're like, we are going to be in deep trouble if we have no harvest. And so what happened at this critical moment of time, Governor Bradford called for a day of humiliation and prayer for the whole colony. And what they did is they spent the day praying. And this is a quote from William Bradford. "For all the morning and the greatest part of the day, it was clear weather. Very hot, not a cloud or any sign of rain to be seen. Yet toward evening, as they continued to pray, it began to get overcast. Shortly after it, rain with such sweet and gentle showers as gave us cause for rejoicing and blessing God. It came without wind or thunder or any violence, and by degrees in abundance, that the earth was thoroughly soaked and wet, which revived and quickened the decayed corn and other fruits, and made the Indians astonished to behold God's answer to prayer, and which caused a fruitful and bountiful harvest." Farmers, if anybody's going to pray, it's going to be farmers. And they did, and God answered, and Indians were astonished that God answered their prayers. So that was a witness to those Native Americans of God's faithfulness. And for that reason, they again had a day of thanksgiving and celebration for God's goodness and His grace. Now, it's 395 years later, 2018. 395 years, that's a long time. And yet we Americans, are we a thankful people? Or are we whiners and complainers? In 2015, I don't know if you remember this or not, but I remember the team. It was a Ugandan team made it to the Little League World Series for the first time in their history, from Uganda, of all places. So they went to Williamsport, Pennsylvania. And as the teams do up there, between games, they would hang out together and just get to know each other. The kids would talk with the kids. So this Ugandan team got particularly connected with a team from Nashville, Tennessee. For whatever reason, that Nashville team that year actually won the U.S. division of the World Series, but they lost in the finals of the international competition. But at any rate, this Ugandan team and this Tennessee team got connected. The manager of the Nashville team, his name was Joe Hale, and he recalled a conversation he had with one of the Ugandan boys. This really struck me. This Ugandan boy asked the question, "Why do Americans complain so much? You have everything." That's a real sobering thing, isn't it? Why do we complain so much? Because you have everything. Let me give you some statistics about Uganda. I didn't know these, I've read these, but Uganda, annual income $477, $1.30 a day. In the United States, it's more than 100 times that, where the average income is over $48,000 a year. In Uganda, people die of starvation. In the United States, people die of overeating. In the U.S., we complain if our cable or internet connection is lost for a few minutes. In Uganda, millions live without electricity at all. In the U.S., we complain because the water tastes funny. In Uganda, many people don't have clean water to drink. In the U.S., most of us have between 15 and 20 pairs of shoes. The team from Uganda practiced at Williamsport barefoot because they didn't like the feel of shoes, because they didn't ever warm. But they were required to wear the cleats that they gave them. So they would have to put them on for the games, but for their practices, they didn't wear them. Sobering things, isn't it? So let's read some scriptures. You don't want to know what Mike says, but this is what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and then Ephesians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances. Not for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. How about Ephesians 5:18 to 20?
Be filled with the Spirit, speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all the things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father.
Yes. Always singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet, as Christians, too often we still end up complaining. I wonder why that is. What is it about us that makes us do this? I think one of the things that I came up with is that we forget. I know I was taken aback as I read the account in the book of Exodus again of the children of Israel. God had delivered them from Egypt, all those great miracles to be able to get them out. And it wasn't but a couple of days until they were complaining. I thought, you know, we read these accounts of these Israelites and we think, how could they be so ignorant? How could they be so stupid? How could they be so forgetful so quickly? God had just humbled Pharaoh and the most powerful nation in the world by this slaves in their God. And yet, only days later, they were complaining. They were grumbling. They responded, "No water, Moses. Where's the food, Moses? Who died and left you, boss, Moses? Are we there yet, Moses?" Just like little kids, huh? They were grumbling, complaining, murmuring. Let's read those two accounts from Numbers, Numbers 11, 1 and 2, and Numbers 14, 2 to 4. Okay, and the second count there in Numbers 14.
All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?"
So sad. How quickly they've forgotten God's graciousness, his miraculous provision and deliverance. They have spiritual amnesia. I don't know if it's contagious or not. I hope not. Spiritual amnesia. You know, not much has changed in the thousands of years since these accounts were written by Moses. Human nature just doesn't change a lot. And if I'm honest with myself, and if you're honest, we grumble and complain too much, and we're unaware of it. And I was even in the midst of preparing this message, and Thanksgiving came, and we were on the way home, and I was with Luann driving in the car, and what comes out of my mouth? The Lord just like, "Hello." "Wasn't that turkey dry my sister made?" It's like, oh. You remember me saying that? And the Lord's like, "Just be glad you have so much to eat." Yeah. So why does God hate our grumbling and complaining so much? What do you think? Why does he not want us to grumble, complain, to murmur? What's it really revealing about us and our hearts? I think it shows a heart that's a heart of ingratitude and a heart that's not very thankful. And I believe when we complain and we grumble, it's not about so much our circumstances as it is about God and our unbelief in him. And so our grumbling is not rooted in our circumstances, what's going on around us. It's something that's really in our hearts. Because it says that the mouth speaks the abundance of the heart. And so if we have little complaints and grumbles, it's in there in abundance. And I believe our complaints and our grumbling, God takes personally. Our heart of gratitude and thankfulness should not be dependent upon our bank statements or doctor's diagnosis or being recognized for a job well done, regardless of the situation, we should be able to find something to be thankful for. And I believe grumbling and complaining is just sin. Sinful. And so spiritual amnesia is really a deadly disease that threatens our faith, our joy, and our relationship with the Lord. And it penetrates really to the core of our being in our hearts. So we need to guard ourselves from spiritual forgetfulness and root out the cancer of complaining that threatens our relationship with the Lord. The antidote is to simply remember God's goodness. I mean, and we see it all the time. Take a moment and just reflect back. I know we do this at Thanksgiving. That's good. Chickies takes a whole morning and they just reflect on the things they're grateful and thankful for. But take a moment, look over your life this morning. How has God protected you from shipwrecks in your life? How is he graciously working in your family? How he has been gracious and showed us things that need to go, the sin, and how he's provided for that, to take care of our sin and remove it. Maybe it was an accident you were almost in, or a terrible crash you were in and could walk away and you're fine. Maybe it's thankfulness for the friends and family he's given you, mentors to be able to speak into your life. Maybe it's because of how he's healed you. I mean, Matt, you have good things to be thankful for in your body. Or that impossible prayer request that he came through with. Or the time you had not much money in this envelope just showed up in the mail, exactly what you needed at the right time. Basically, we want to remember God and his goodness. And the greatest miracle of all, that we're his children, right? I think back on how I was before I was with Christ, and I thank him so much that I could know him and walk with him. Let's read Hebrews 13:5 and then 1 Corinthians 15:57.
Hebrews 13:5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
I was talking to my daughter-in-law, Kim. I said, what do you think, this is Friday, I said, what do you think makes us not be thankful? She said that she mentioned about this verse that we're not content. We always want something else. Just learn to be content. How about 1 Corinthians 15:57?
Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, thanks be to God for the victory through Jesus. So, generally, I don't see myself as a complainer. I really don't believe I complain all that much, but there are times, yes. So, one of the things I've learned to do when I'm tempted, and we're all tempted to complain, when I'm tempted to complain, I always thank the Lord instead. For instance, when you're tempted to complain about doing another load of wash, that's easy to do, right? I mean, who likes doing wash? Another load of wash. Be thankful that you have clothes to wear and a family to provide for in that way. Or when you're tempted to complain about your job and your coworkers, don't complain about Emily. Remember to thank God for the provision of work and finances to support you, whatever it is. You know, for me, it's leaves in the fall. I mean, we have a couple. And I say, thank you, Lord, that we can live in the woods. You know, it's just giving him thanks that's related to what you're dealing with, you know? So, Psalms 100.
Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations.
Thanks, Mary. Yes, entering into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. That's how he wants us to come to him. How about Philippians 4, 6 and then Philippians 2, 14 to 16?
Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be being known to God.
Hear that? Bring everything to him in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Stipulates that. He wants that thanksgiving in there. Thanking him for the answers even before they come. And lastly is our Philippians 2, 14 to 16.
Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain.
This verse, I think, says a lot. It says, do all things without grumbling, that we may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, that we may shine as lights in the world. I'll tell you, when we choose to be a thankful people, people will notice. When you choose not to complain, and you choose instead to be a thankful person, an upbeat person, we will be, yes, lights in the darkness, in this crooked and twisted generation, as the word says. And people will see Jesus in us. And I know that's what you want, and that's what I want. So to conclude this morning, what we're going to be doing is getting together with somebody else. I'd rather the husbands not be with wives, but get with another person. If you can, girl, woman to woman, or girl to girl, and guy to guy. If we have an odd number, we can put three in a group. But what I would like you to do is take several minutes to confess any grumbling or complaining that the Lord may bring to your remembrance. Each of us probably have one area in particular that is a harder thing not to grumble about. And I don't want you to dig too much, but the Holy Spirit will give it to you. And I know for me, he told me right off, you're driving and how you talk when you drive. Okay. I don't know what it is for you. But and then it says this in James 5:16. It says, confess your sins one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so what we're going to do, as you confess what it is the Spirit gives to you, to your person you're with, confess that. Come before the Lord together. Pray for each other. Ask for forgiveness for that. And ask him to have victory over that area in your life that you could respond in different ways in the future. And then take some time to express your thankfulness and gratitude in prayer with that person as well. And then I will come back up here, conclude the prayer, and we'll be dismissed then. So get together with another man or woman, and twos if possible, if not, if it's odd number, three. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for your kindness and your goodness to us each and every day. Lord, we pray as we go from this place that you would make us lights that shine in the darkness, that others would see Jesus in us where we go, where we truly would be without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. We pray that you would put a guard over our mouths, Lord Jesus, that we would not grumble or complain, but that your Spirit would nip it before it even comes out, that all that would come from us would be praise and worship and gratitude to our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your faithfulness to the pilgrims so long ago, and we are thankful for your faithfulness still to us today. Help us to be grateful people. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.